Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's open the Word of God to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. While they sang that, my mind went to the passage of Scripture where Paul was talking to Timothy about his faith. And he said, I remember that it was first in your grandmother and then in your mother and now found in thee. And as I listened to that song about Mother's Bible, I wondered, you know, do we have the kind of faith, do you, Mom, that would impact generations? Thank God for young Timothy's grandmother. Without her faith, maybe his mother wouldn't have come to the Lord. And maybe she wouldn't have raised Timothy. And maybe he wouldn't have come to the Lord. And then Paul wouldn't have had anyone to write those books to. You know, we never know how far impacting our actions can be. But your faith can impact generations. Now, you know, the first thing we think of is the way we live, and we should live in a way that reflects our faith. But the other way to pass on your faith to generations, mothers, ladies, men, is to talk about the Lord. Speak your faith. You know, does your family know your belief? Do they know about your salvation? Do they know your story, how you came to know the Lord? You know, you need to share that with people, and you need to share that with your family. You know, and that's how you're going to impact them. That's how you're going to make an impression on their life. That's what's going to make them think, you know, maybe I should give my heart to the Lord. Maybe I should live in a way that honors God. Just talk to them about different things that are on your mind and heart as the days go by, you know, in the moment. That's what the Bible talks about. Here a little, there a little. As you rise up, as you sit down, you know, you share those things about your faith with your family. And that's how it impacts generations. You know, we don't think of those actions as very big. We don't think of those really as being impactful, but they are. And it just like that song talks about how the memories linger on. They will. You know how it is. You grow up and you leave home and then, you know, you find yourself remembering, you know, the things that you were taught, remembering the things your parents did. Matter of fact, you might catch yourself acting like your parents once in a while. Isn't that something? And so we do really remember, and sometimes more stays with us than what we realize. And so let me encourage you to share your faith by living it out and then by also verbalizing it, talking about it, sharing it with your family, speaking of the Lord, sharing Bible verses and different things that God is doing in your heart. And that's how you'll make an impact for generations to come. Luke chapter 1, have you found your place? We're going to read in verse 26, and we're going to read down through verse 38 for our text this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, when you found your place, let's stand, we'll have prayer, and then we'll read the Word of God together beginning in verse 26. And so let's pray together. Father, how we love you today and how we thank you so much for this book we hold in our hands today, the Word of God, the Bible. We ask that you'd bless the reading of your Word this morning and that you'd use it to encourage and stir our hearts. Lord, in all that's going on in this world today, we need encouragement to look to you and to be godly, to live by your word and to follow the truth, because there's so many other messages and directions that are being thrown out and encouraged today. Lord, so many directions, so many things that are not good, healthy, and wholesome. Lord, it's just good to have some good, positive, encouraging truth this morning. And I pray you'd bless it and speak to our hearts through your word today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This is a powerful passage of Scripture, and your mind this morning may be going back to Christmas time. And it certainly is a text fitting for that occasion. But this morning, I want to preach a message I've entitled, A Chosen Vessel. A Chosen Vessel. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And as we look at Luke chapter 1 today, we're realizing that not only is this a text fitting for Christmas, this is a text that is fitting for Mother's Day. Because this is the passage where God revealed who the mother of the Lord Jesus would be. Now, I don't know about you, but I spent a little time thinking about this. Can you imagine being able to choose who your mother was going to be? I don't know about you this morning. I hope you feel like God made the best choice. I hope you love your mom for who she is and all that she's done and the sacrifices that she's made. But I wondered, what would it be like? What kind of a dilemma would that be to try to choose who your mother would be? That's a choice we don't really get to make. But here the Lord made that. He got to choose who would be the mother of the Lord Jesus, the physical embodiment of God Himself. And so we wonder, well, hey, what would you look for? Would you look for a sense of humor? Would you look for a strong spirit? Would you look for a good work ethic? Maybe someone who's clean and tidy? What would you look for in a mother? How would you decide who would be the right one? You know, a good fit to bring you up and to take care of you, to nurture you and guide you and advise you on life's journey. Well, I don't know exactly what would come to your mind when you're thinking about the different parts of this difficult choice, and no doubt, it is. But here in the text, we find that God made such a choice when He chose Mary. Now, it's pretty interesting here as we look into this text, we're going to find some things that God was looking at when He made this choice of who His mother, the mother of the Lord Jesus, would be. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time that these qualities that God was looking for, they're probably not what the world would be looking for. They might not even make the top 10 list of the popular characteristics that you might want to find in a mom. But before you get into the details of what you would look for in your choice, I want you to pause right there in considering that question, how would you make the choice? And I want you to think about how God made the choice. I want you to think about the qualities that He considered in choosing a mom today, and let's see if that will help us, and let's see if we reflect these characteristics also in our life. You know, here we find in this text, as God made His choice, we're going to see that He looked at a couple of important things. These are more important, you know, maybe than society would point out to us, but as God narrows down on these important qualities, let's see what He chose. First of all, I want you to see that God chose Mary to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, and He did so because Mary was pure. I want you to know this morning, Mary was chosen because she was pure. Now, I know if the world, if Hollywood were making the choice, she would have been chosen because she was pretty. And I don't doubt that Mary was probably a pretty girl, a pretty young girl, the handmaid of the Lord, she called herself. But God didn't make the selection on that basis alone. You know, there's more to being a good person than just having a pretty face. And we have to understand that, by the way, beauty should go way beyond that. And there are things more valuable than that also. God looked beyond the outward appearance. He looked upon the heart of Mary, and He chose her because she was pure, not just because she was pretty. Notice Luke chapter 1 in verse 27, if you'll go back there. The Bible says that he came, that the angel Gabriel came to God's choice. And he came in verse 27 to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So here we find that Mary had kept herself pure. She was about to be married, and she was pure up until the time of her marriage. Now God chose her to be the vessel to carry the Lord Jesus Christ. And she remained pure, if you continue to study the Scriptures, she remained pure until after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she went on to have other children, naturally, the way all other mothers do. But she kept herself pure the entire time. The Bible tells us that God's interested in purity. And the Bible has some things to say about purity. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, and while you do that, I'm going to read a few verses. Matthew chapter 5 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." 1 Timothy 1, 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." Now I want you to understand that passage, speaking about our personal growth and about our discipleship. Here is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and he says the end of the commandment, or in other words, the goal is charity out of a pure heart. You know, that's what God wants to nurture in all of us, a pure heart. How about that today? That's a quality that God finds important. It was number one on his list. We find here that 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "And of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." That word unfeigned means that it's not a put on. It's not a fake. It's not a mask that you wear on Sunday morning and then put aside during the week. This is true, sincere, godly faith coming out of a pure heart. Hey, listen, God wants us to be pure today. 1 Timothy 3:9 says, "Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." Not only does God want you to have a pure heart, God wants you to have a pure conscience. And that can only happen when you're doing the right things. Because you know when you're ignoring what you know and you're doing things you know are not right, you can't have a pure conscience that way. The only way to have a pure conscience is to live right before God. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Now I want you to understand today that our mothers should be helping us keep ourselves pure in our formative days when we're growing up. But listen, it's not her responsibility to do that. It's yours. It's your responsibility before God to keep yourself pure. So if you want to be someone God would choose, if you want to be a chosen vessel like Mary was, then the advice God gives you is keep yourself pure. Now look, if you find yourself today saying, "Oops, uh-oh, preacher, man, I guess I got some cleaning up to do." Good, then go do that. Do that to make yourself someone whom God would choose and use. And you'll see a difference in your life. You'll see what God can do with a pure life, a pure heart, a pure conscience. God wants you to keep yourself pure as Mary did. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." By the way, Paul was writing that to Timothy. So I want you to know today, it's not just good advice for ladies to keep themselves pure. It's also good advice for men to keep themselves pure. You see, all God's children should desire and should be striving to have a pure heart before God. A pure conscience, which comes from a clean life, one well lived. God is looking for that in His children today. Now, we don't live clean, and we don't live good, and we don't live right in order to become a child of God, but we do that because we are a child of God. Our desire should be to represent Him well in this world. Now, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then I want you to know that God will take you just like you are. He'll receive you. He'll help you. And by the way, He'll clean you. Amen? You know, Jesus talked to His disciples about ministering to others, and he said it this way, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." You know, that was something they could relate to because most of them were fishermen. And they understood the concept of catching the fish, but then they knew once the fish are caught, they got to be cleaned. You know, the great thing about serving the Lord in ministry is when we bring people to Christ, we catch them, but He cleans them. Amen? Hey, that's my kind of fishing right there. I hate cleaning fish, but I don't mind catching. I like catching them. I don't like fishing for them, but I like catching them, and I like eating them. Nobody likes the cleaning part, I guess, but God specializes in that. And if you're here today and you need some cleansing, I want you to know God is here for you, and He will help you wherever you are in your life's journey. God will receive you and help you and clean you. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." You know, you can't do anything godly in a fervent way if you don't have a pure heart. And here the Word of God is encouraging us to have that quality that God was looking for when He chose a mother. The quality of purity. Mary was chosen because she was pure. Hey, listen today, are you pure? Am I pure? Listen, this is something we should consider. It's something that we should examine our hearts before God to determine today, would we meet God's expectations? Would He choose us? You know, if not, then today would be a good day to find a place at the altar and say, "God, help me to be pure. Lord, cleanse me and help me to have that pure heart and that pure conscience and that pure life. Help me to live right and do right." And you know, we should ask Him to do that because we love Him. 2 Peter 3:1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." I just want to give you a little advice today. I know we're not preaching on this, but if you're going to have a pure heart and a pure conscience and a pure life, it starts with a pure mind. You got to put the guardrails up on what comes into your mind, what you think about, what you contemplate, what you spend time mulling over and meditating in your mind. You know the old saying, well, all the computer people know this. They say it like this, garbage in, garbage out. Because whatever you tell the computer to do or remember, well, that's what you get in return. But you know, sometimes that's true in life. We put a bunch of garbage in our minds. Well, no wonder we're in the gutter, right? And the way to get out of there is to clean our minds up, to stop putting garbage in. And then we can get better out when we start putting better in. Let's think about what we're watching, what we're reading. Let's think about what we spend our times conversating over. And let's understand that we want to be pure in the sight of God. Now, I had you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 a moment ago. If you found your place, would you look with me at verse 4? 1 Thessalonians 4:4, this is what Paul had to say. He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, that word sanctification, that's a big theological word, okay? Let me tell you what it means. It means to be set apart. Now, I know all of our mothers understand that concept, set apart. It's kind of like the idea of your fine china. What do you do with that? Well, you set that apart. And most folks have that in a case or cabinet somewhere with glass doors where it's on display. It's beautiful to look at. And we only use that for special occasions. Isn't that right? Why? Because it's special to us. It's set apart. We don't use that every day for breakfast. We don't use that every day for supper time. No, no, no. That's like Sunday dinner type stuff. That's like when company comes over kind of stuff. It's special. It's set apart. So Paul was saying here that we should live our lives. This vessel that God's given me, we should maintain this life in sanctification. In other words, you should be somebody that has set yourself apart for God, for a special use. Do you know what God said about His children? He said that we are peculiar people. Now, that word peculiar, we use that word to mean, you know, weird, funny, odd, different, strange. But when it was translated in Bible days, that word peculiar, that's not the way they used it back then. The word peculiar means special. And God wants you to be a special person. Somebody who's set apart for His use. God wants you to be like Mary, someone that He could come and use at His disposal. God might want to use you to influence your family to come to the faith. God might want to use you to be a blessing to your neighbors. God might want to use you to pray for some friends. Who knows? We'll never know how God wants to use us if we don't set ourselves apart for His use. How do you do that, preacher? Well, you just live right. You just do what you know is right. You pray and ask God to use you. You say, I'm willing. It's simple things, but it goes a long way when God is looking to choose a vessel. And this morning we're finding that God chose Mary because she was pure. It was one of the reasons why God used her. Now, I assume this morning I'm preaching to some Bible believers, some Christians who have a heart. And I hope your heart this morning says, I want God to use me. That should be the desire of every person who knows the Lord. We should want God to use us in our life some kind of way, so that our life has significance and meaning beyond the mundane daily stuff that we do. And it will, if you'll set yourself apart for His use, if you'll be pure and consider yourself to be special for God. Hey, listen, He stepped in and chose Mary because she was pure. Number two, I want you to understand that He chose Mary because of her availability, because Mary was willing. This is a big deal, because there are people who are not willing. Would you go back to Luke chapter 1 with me? And let's look there at verse 38. The Bible says in Luke 1:38, and Mary said, now listen, this is after the pronouncement. First of all, can you imagine the angel Gabriel appearing in your living room? Hail, thou art highly favored. She's like, whoa. She's like, what? The Bible says she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why is the angel calling me highly favored? You know, if you have another one of God's characteristics that He likes, and that is humility. You see, she wasn't already walking around town thinking she's highly favored. Man, I am the cream of the crop. I am God's favorite. No. She didn't walk around like that. And you know, that has a lot to do with it also, because the Bible says God resists the proud. So don't go thinking that you're better than everybody else because you go to church and read the Bible and you try to live pure and godly and you don't do certain things that other people do. Listen, don't get the idea this morning you're better than everybody else. That just might keep God from using you with all that pride setting in. Now the truth is, when we live by the Bible, we're not better than other people because we're all valuable to God. Now you might be better off in certain ways because you practice certain principles and you're going to reap the benefits of those principles. And that's good stuff. That makes it worth doing by itself. But we do what we do for God. And we don't do it to broadcast to other people, and we don't do it to make us think we're better than everybody else. That is not the way it is. And that wasn't the way it was with Mary. She was very surprised, actually, that God chose her. Who am I? Was her attitude. I'm just a handmaid of the Lord. But when the angel Gabriel came and made that special announcement to her, notice what she said in verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. and the angel departed from her. You want some good advice today? Would you underline what Mary said right there? Be it unto me according to thy word. You know what she was saying? Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. If that's what you want for me, God, okay, I will do it. She was willing. You might think about that this morning as being overly simplistic. Oh, come on, preacher. Everybody's willing. That's why we're here. No, everybody ain't willing. Not everybody's willing to follow the Lord and really believe the Bible and really live what the Bible teaches. Not everybody. Even people that are here. 30 years of ministry experience has taught me that, guess what? There are even Christian people who would draw lines with God and say, okay, now listen, that's about far enough. I'm willing to do a little of this and a little of that, but preacher, don't come over here now. This is where I live. Don't be messing with this stuff. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You might know some of those people. Look, I love them, but they don't realize how they're really kind of like locking the door on the Lord. They're just not letting him in to certain areas of their life. And the result is they're keeping themselves from being a chosen vessel. It's really up to you. How much do you want God to use you? Well, it has to do with how available to him are you. Can I say that what God was asking of Mary was no easy task, especially in her day. Listen, it would be inconvenient today, but in her day, what God was asking Mary to do was risking her life. They would have taken a girl like that, pregnant before marriage, outside the city, and stoned her to death. That's what the law said they could do. That's why Joseph had such a hard time when he found out she was expecting. Man, like, I don't know what to do. Because he knew if he made that information public, she would be gone. And as he contemplated, how do I do this privately? How do I get out of this engagement? How do I, you know, this woman has been unfaithful to me. How do I approach this without her losing her life? And while he's thinking about this, God appears to him in a dream and tells him, hey, the child that she's carrying is of the Lord. She hasn't been unfaithful to you. He's going to be the Messiah. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hey, it's a good thing Joseph made himself available to the Lord and was willing to be part of this and was willing to allow that and go on and continue to marry her and raise the Lord Jesus. These were two people. This was a couple that was greatly used of God. But listen, it came at a cost. You know, a lot of times we want to serve God. We want to be highly favored. We want to be a chosen vessel. But we don't want to pay the price that it takes to get there. That's not how it works. If you want to be used of God, then you have to be willing to do what God asks. You have to be willing to live the life that goes with that, being a servant of the Lord. It's not too much to ask. Look what Jesus did for us. And he's not asking you to go to a cross. He's just asking you to live a life that reflects who he is. Certainly we could all do that. Mary was willing. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. You know what she was saying? Like the songwriter said, she was saying, I surrender all. All to him I owe. She was submitting herself to the Lord for him to do his will in her life. I'll guarantee if Mary was choosing the scenario, she would not have written the story this way. But she allowed God to be the penman to write her story. Will you do that? Are you willing this morning? I trust you are. This was a big deal for the Lord. You know, there were other times when babies were announced by angels. Hey, did you know Samson was born that way? Did you know an angel announced the birth of Samson and came to his mother and told her that she would have a child and what she should do? And when she told her husband, we don't know her name, but his name was Manoah. In the book of Judges, she told her husband Manoah, an angel appeared to me and said, we're going to have a child. And Manoah, having that desire to be used of God and having that willingness to do what God wanted, he said, let's pray and let's ask God to let the angel come again so that he can give us those specific instructions of what we should do. Now, the angel had already given the instructions. One time, God could have said no to that. Well, she already knows. But he didn't. I find it miraculous that the angel came and announced that they were going to have a child. But you know what's doubly miraculous is that God answered the prayer of Manoah and sent the angel a second time. Why did he do that? Because Manoah was willing. And he was saying, God, I want to do this your way. I need you to give me instructions. I need you to show me how. And I want you to know this morning, if you don't know how to live for God and you don't know how to serve the Lord and you don't know what God wants you to do, all you have to do is come like Manoah did and with a pure heart, open it to the Lord and say, God, show me. Show me your will. Show me your word. Teach me how and I will do it. Manoah prayed that way and God sent the angel a second time. And the angel gave them very specific instructions. And he told them about the Nazirite vow that Samson would have to be under because his mother would have to live that way while Samson was in her womb. And so Samson was a Nazirite from birth all the way on, and God greatly used him as a result. Hey, how about the child Samuel? You may remember that Hannah prayed for a child in the temple. She asked God to give her a son, and God blessed her. Gave her a child. His name was Samuel. She raised him until he was old enough to get around on his own. And then she brought him up to the temple and she said, look, I prayed and I promised God, if you'll give me a child, Lord, I'll give him back to you and he'll serve you. Well, she meant that literally. Hey, by the way, we don't do this today. This isn't a thing. But she brought her son up to the temple and said, here you go, preacher. He's yours. Help out around the church and do the offerings and all that. Get ready for services and, you know, hey, whatever the Lord's work needs, here he is. I'm lending him back to the Lord just like I promised. Well, hey, you know, she did everything right as a Christian parent and she raised him right and taught him and then she took him to church. All good things. There was only one thing missing. And as a young Christian parent, I didn't really think much about this. But in recent days, God has highlighted this in my mind that, you know, Samuel, he only lacked one thing, and that was his own experience with God. Samuel needed to have his faith, not his mother's faith. You can only go so far on somebody else's faith before it's time for you to make it personal, to make it real in your life. I want to ask you today, is it your faith? Have you made it personal? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you come to the understanding to know that you can't get to heaven on your own? You can never be good enough? You can't pay for your own sins? It has to be through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, washing away your sins. You have to have a relationship with Him. And when you accept Him and receive Him, He becomes your Savior, not just your mother's Savior. Samuel became a great prophet of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:10, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Guess what Samuel did? He said, speak, for thy servant heareth. What was he doing? The same thing Mary did when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. What was he doing? He was doing the same thing that Manoah did when he said, God, would you send the angel again to teach us how we should raise this child? Samuel was presenting himself as willing to the Lord. He was saying, God, I'm willing. You speak, your servant hears. I want to know what you have for me. There's one other example in Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah saw the Lord, and it says in verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" What was Isaiah doing? He was doing the same thing Samuel did and Manoah did and Mary did. He was saying, "Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm available." And I tell you something, when God chose Mary, He wasn't looking down for her ability. He was looking at her availability. God's not looking for you to be certified, qualified, dignified, and all that stuff. He'll take care of that. He just wants you to be available. He just wants you to be willing to do what He asks you to do. Isn't that simple enough? Hey, you know, it seems like anybody could fit that category, and they could if they were willing. Not only that, we find that God chose Mary because of her faith. Mary was a faithful person. Well, we use that word to mean a couple different things. First, we use the word faithful to mean consistent, you know. And she was. She was diligent in her life. She was consistent. She lived a pure life. She met those qualifications of being faithful and true and consistent, trustworthy, dependable, all that stuff. And the Bible has a lot to say about being faithful. And if you're going to be a willing vessel to serve the Lord, that kind of consistency and faithfulness is definitely something you need. But that's not the part I want to highlight about Mary. She was all of that. But the word faithful also means full of faith. And that is what caught God's eye. Mary was full of faith. Would you look at verse 39 in Luke chapter 1? We're just going to read down through a little bit and see Mary's response. The Bible says, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." That was her cousin. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe," that's talking about Elizabeth's child, that who later was John the Baptist, "leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she came out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Did you see that in verse 45? Blessed is she that believed. Hey, listen, God looks at that. Let me show you what I mean. When the angel came to announce to Mary that she was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus, he also told her about her cousin Elizabeth. And he said, Elizabeth is 6 months along. So let's rewind the tape a little bit. When the angel came to Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, and he announced the birth of their baby, which was John the Baptist, Zacharias didn't believe. He said, "What?" He said, "Lord, you know how old we are? And Lord, my wife's been barren all this time." The Bible tells us that while Zacharias was ministering in the priest's office, and the angel appeared to him, and he did not believe the word of the angel, the angel locked his tongue, and he lost the ability to speak until the baby was born. This is 9 months later. And when the baby was born, Elizabeth said, everybody was asking, "Hey, what are you going to name him?" And she said, "We're going to name him John." And they were all complaining and fussing and in disbelief, you know, like, "Hey, there ain't nobody in your family named John. Where'd you get that name from?" Well, she couldn't say, off the internet. From the Lord. As soon as they did that, they turned to Zacharias and asked him, "Are y'all sure? Is she right? Is she telling us right? Is his name John?" The Bible says Zacharias had to write it out because he couldn't talk. And when he wrote it out, his name is John, his tongue was loosed, finally. And he was able to praise God and speak and tell them, yes, his name is John. I'm just telling you all that because I want you to understand, God notices when we believe him or when we don't believe him. It's important. Do you believe God this morning? Do you believe his word? Don't tell me you believe God if you don't believe this book right here. This is the word of God. If you don't believe this, how are you going to tell me you believe him? If you don't believe the part you can see, how are you going to believe the part you can't see? This is the word of God. When the word of God came to Mary, she believed. And that was special to God. Even Elizabeth made note of it. And in verse 45, she said, "And blessed is she that believed." Can I tell you something? Everyone who believes God's word is blessed. In some way or another, everyone who believes God's word is blessed because of what we believe. Now, if that's true, let's believe all of it. Let's believe every word of God. We should. And that is the way we want to highlight that Mary was faithful. She was full of faith to believe what God told her, even though it sounded impossible. Well, the angel said, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Mary was not famous, but she was faithful. And God chose her. She was faithful in her ways, but she was full of faith because she believed God. Paul was another person who believed God. You remember when he was sailing on that ship in that stormy weather, he was on his way to Rome, and he had appealed unto Caesar. And you know, he prayed about this trip because he felt like this is a bad time of year. We're traveling in storm season, you know, and this isn't a good idea. And he told the soldiers, "We need to wait here, and we should not set sail." Well, they didn't listen to the preacher. They got on anyway. They said, "Hey, look, good weather today. Let's go." They got on the boat. They set sail again. Sure enough, they were overtaken by a storm. And that storm was so bad, they thought it was going to break the ship apart. They thought they were all going to die. It was so bad, they threw all of their cargo overboard. And in the middle of that scene, Paul stood up and said this. In Acts 27:25, Paul said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, what was it told? Well, God had appeared to Paul on that ship, on that boat, during that storm, and told him, as long as everybody stays on the boat, everyone will live and survive this storm. And Paul had conveyed that message to them. Now, they didn't believe him at first when he said, no, we shouldn't sail. They left anyway. They got into the storm. Then he told them this. Well, they started to listen. And a few of the men tried to get off on those little lifeboats, you know, and escape. And Paul said, "You need to stay on board." And so they cut those lifeboats and let them go so that no one would try that and lose their life. And it turns out that even later, when they had a shipwreck, they all made it to shore and there was no loss of life. Why? Because God had come to Paul and told him what was going to happen. Paul said, "I believe God." Hey, this morning, are you willing to believe God? Do you believe God could use you to make a difference in your life or someone else's? I believe he wants to. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is still looking for people who will believe him today. Mary did. Well, Mary was a chosen vessel. First, Mary was chosen because she was pure. God likes moral purity. Second, Mary was chosen because she was willing. God likes availability. And third, Mary was chosen because she was full of faith. God likes faith. He likes it when we believe Him. Amen? Would God choose you this morning? I trust so. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God to help us, that we too might have these same qualities in our life that Mary had in hers. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God today and for the things we've been able to glean from the Scriptures about this chosen vessel. Lord, our desire is and should be that we would be a chosen vessel before You also. And I pray You'd help us now to dedicate ourselves to that intent. In Christ's name we pray.